Wednesday, July 24th. Today in Europe, the air raids on Britain and Germany continue. The Nazi press continues to threaten that invasion of the British Isles is near. And at the Havana Conference of the American Republics, the United States continues to push the plan for a trusteeship of Pan-American nations over the colonies of conquered European nations in the New World. Only Argentina objects to the plan. But now the news direct from Europe. First London, then Berlin, afterwards more news and an analysis by Linton Wells in New York. First, the report from the British capital by Eric Severide. Go ahead, London.
This is London. Three enemy bombers were shot down around the coast early today by the RAF. Other German planes were reported over inland parts of England, but no bombs were dropped. A fourth went down during an attack on a convoy in the Channel, when about 100 bombs fell. It's reported here this morning that Finland has accepted an ultimatum from Stalin calling for immediate demobilization of the Finnish army. Yesterday, the new income and luxuries taxes for British people were announced in the House of Commons. If you read them in detail in your newspaper, you know how extraordinarily high they are in comparison with American taxes. A man earning $4,000 a year, let's say, will pay one-fourth of it to the government. But what astonishes an American in this country is the reaction today by the people and press. I haven't heard a word of complaint this morning from any of my British friends. As for the press editorials, they simply complain that the budget is too timid. These taxes won't raise enough. They leave too much to loan in the sale of securities abroad, and the danger of inflation is still not over. A number of writers object to the tax on books and newspapers. Others point out that Sir Kingsley Wood forgot to lower the price of tobacco for the troops. Cricket matches will cost more to see. The same is true for races. And the tax-free sixpenny movie seat is no longer tax-free. There were two other important decisions announced at yesterday's sessions of Commons. Injustices done to anti-fascist aliens now in concentration camps will be remedied, and sentences imposed on gossipers under the new Silent Column campaign will be reviewed. The whole Silent Column affair will probably end. That's a defeat for Alfred Duff Cooper. And here's a significant point. Both actions came about only after a strong campaign in the London press. Final proof that the press in this country is still free and still powerful. British strategists want Abyssinia to be at war once more with Italy, and by the time the rainy season down there is over. The rains have now begun and will last until October. The emperor hides out somewhere in the Sudan where the British took him. British arms will be placed in tribal hands in the meantime. Native runners are now carrying messages from Haile Selassie to his former native chiefs. I know that for some time the French were gathering arms stores in East Africa to give to Abyssinian natives when Italy finally entered the war. This was organized by Georges Mandel when he was Minister of Colonies. But what's happened now to these arms is a mystery. The press here this morning announces that Mandel, with Delagie and Campanchi, is to be tried by French courts for responsibility in starting the war. I think I might as well reveal now the last plot against Mandel's life, which he defeated. For 7 days before Reynaud's cabinet fell, Mandel knew that Weygand was trying to have him arrested. On June 17, when Pétain and Weygand had come to power, Mandel was lunching in the Chapeau Fin restaurant in Bordeaux. A colonel approached him and asked him to come to the prefecture. Mandel politely acquiesced. The officer's car would not start, so Mandel drove his captor in his own car. He waited 2 hours in the prefecture, reading a newspaper. Finally, the general commanding the Bordeaux military region came in. He took Mandel to Pétain, who sat with Pomaret, the new minister of the interior. Pétain advanced and held out his hand to Mandel, who refused it. The old marshal then apologized for what he called a great mistake. Mandel refused to accept his excuses. He demanded a full explanation. Pétain was highly embarrassed. He said Mandel had been accused of gathering a supply of arms to assassinate the present government. Mandel said he refused even to answer to such a charge. He knew that Weygand was behind it. In the end, he obliged the old marshal to sit down and write out in his own hand a full apology and to clear his name. And today, as Mandel, the most able administrator in France, faces arrest once more, this paper is in his pocket. I return you now to New York.
That was Eric Sefaride reporting from London. Here's a late press association dispatch from Rome. An Italian high command communique claims that Italian submarines have destroyed a British submarine and an Australian destroyer in the eastern Mediterranean. The new air raids also are reported on the British naval base at Malta. Now the news from the German capital, reported by Edwin Hartridge. Go ahead, Berlin.
This is Berlin. At this moment, a German delegation is now in Moscow to work out the arrangements for the evacuation of Germans from the recently annexed provinces of northern Bukovina and Bessarabia. These provinces were taken over several weeks ago by the Soviet troops from Romania. It is believed that there are approximately 70 to 80,000 Germans in Bessarabia who are to be returned to the Greater Reich. There's also the rumor here that the Finnish government will shortly sound out the German government regarding the future of the Baltic Sea. The Finns are a bit nervous following the recent changeover of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania from independent states to republics in the Soviet Union. And Finland apparently does not intend to follow suit. As was already announced yesterday, the prime ministers and foreign affairs ministers of Romania and Bulgaria are to come to Germany at the close of this week. They will have some conferences with Herr Hitler, probably in Munich. And according to reports in the German papers, the press of these two countries has enthusiastically joined in the chorus criticizing Lord Halifax's speech of the other night. The Romanian and Bulgarian newspapers are publishing laudatory articles regarding the German reaction that the war is to continue because England will not consider Herr Hitler's offer of cessation of hostilities. Also, Father Tiso, the Slovakian Prime Minister, and Dr. Tuka, his foreign affairs minister, are coming to Berlin this week for conferences too. Along with the swelling editorial attacks on England, there is a renewal of the warnings about the war of snipers. Berlin papers are printing stories that news photos are now being published in the United States that show that Great Britain is arming and training the civilian population for the pending attack. This action declares the German press that the sanctuary guards are operating under the sponsorship of the British Parliament. This reported development is said to be directed against German soldiers and parachutists, and reprisals will be forthcoming if it is carried out, the paper is threatened. The morning press is also carrying several critical stories about the aims and attitude of the United States government regarding the future of European positions in the Western Hemisphere. Washington is accused of trying to use the Havana Conference to establish American, that is, United States protectorates over the Dutch and French possessions in the Caribbean. For instance, the Folkischer Beobachter writes this morning under the headline, USA looking for protectorates. Quote, while Secretary of State Cordell Hull is evasive, the essence of the United States objectives is to gain the consent of South American nations to change the Dutch and French colonial possessions, such as Curacao, Aruba, and the island of Martinique, into protectorates to the USA. Then this theme is echoed by the Boston Zeitung. It writes, quote, Secretary of State Hull is trying to scare the South American delegates through his pessimistic utterances by speaking of the possibility of attack and the menace to American safety. This is done to further the philanthropic idea of setting up protectorates all over the European possessions in the Western Hemisphere. After this, then to set up a silent United States protectorate over the whole American continent. End of quote. Towards the end of April, Herman Mussert, the head of the Dutch National Socialist Party, gave an interview to the Columbia Broadcasting System, which created a sensation in Holland. He stated that in the event of an invasion, party members serving in the army would not fight against German soldiers. For that statement, 21 leaders of the Dutch National Socialist Party, including Roost van Tunningen, the editor of the party newspaper, were arrested by the local authorities. Then after the war started, they were subsequently taken to Boulogne, but were rescued by the Germans before they could be transported to England. However, things are now in improvement for Herr von Tunningen and his comrades. By decree of Reichskommissar Seyss Inquart, the Social Democratic Party, the Revolutionary Socialist Workers' Party, and the Communist Party of Holland are to be placed under, quote, the exclusive control, unquote, of Herr von Tunningen. This was done for the security of the working class, the decree explained. The officials of these political parties have been removed and the former National Socialist editor has taken over. There's another phase in the political realignment of the Netherlands. This is Edwin Harkrich, are returning now to Columbia and New York.
Such is the news direct from Europe. Now in our New York studios is Linton Wells, who will give you a news summary and his analysis of the news. Mr. Wells.
As our correspondents, Eric Severide and Edwin Harkrich in London and Berlin, have reported this morning, there is a sort of relative ominous calm in Anglo-German war activities, the calm which precedes a tempest of unparalleled proportions, Hitler's supreme effort to subjugate Britain. But elsewhere in the world, the situation is not quite so calm. Before launching his long-expected total war against Britain, there are reports that Hitler is endeavoring to stabilize the situation in southeastern Europe. Besides withdrawing German citizens from Romania, as Mr. Hartridge reported from Berlin this morning, he is expected to confer with both Romanian and Bulgarian leaders later this week at Salzburg and force them to compose their differences, particularly over the restoration to Bulgaria of the Dobruja, which Bulgaria is insisting upon. Several weeks ago, you will remember, Hitler summoned Hungarian leaders to Munich and told them to defer their claims to Romania's Transylvania until the war in the West was terminated, and in the meantime to put the Hungarian army to work on the farms. They obeyed. Bulgaria and Romania are expected likewise to obey the Nazi dictator's dictates. There are indications that Russia is slightly annoyed over being left out of these conferences, inasmuch as the USSR has become a Balkan power by occupying Bessarabia and Bukovina. The Kremlin is indicating that it should be consulted regarding any moves affecting Romania, particularly, and the Balkans generally. However, as Mr. Severide told us from London, Russia herself is reported to be moving again in northern Europe without apparently consulting Germany. As you know, the Baltic republics of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia succumbed to Soviet pressure and voted their own reunion with the USSR. Yesterday, Undersecretary of State Sumner Wells vigorously denounced Russia's absorption of these three little states and said the United States would continue to recognize them as free and independent. Now there are indications that little Finland again has felt the heavy hand of the Reds. As Mr. Severide reported from London, Moscow is said to have demanded complete demobilization of the Finnish armed forces, and Finland has agreed to the demand. This is considered to be a prelude to a Soviet move to force Finland to follow the example of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and ostensibly vote herself in favor of a reunion with Russia. Thus, the Soviet Union will have placed herself in a position to dominate northwestern Europe and Scandinavia. And there are many observers who feel, as Mr. Hartridge hinted this morning, that Hitler is not any too happy over having his communist ally firmly entrenched in such strategic positions. But there's nothing the Nazis can do about the situation now. Manifestly, Stalin is making hay while the sun shines. The Pan-American Conference at Havana seems to be moving along with reasonable smoothness, but the more skeptical observers are disposed to the belief that a monkey wrench is destined to be tossed into the machinery before very long. One of the outstanding problems of the conference concerns the British, French, and Dutch possessions in this hemisphere. The United States has proposed that the 21 American republics establish a collective trusteeship over such possessions against the time when they can be restored to their present owners without threat of loss or, alternatively, given their independence. As was expected from the outset, Argentina adopted the attitude of an obstructionist. Dr. Melo, the Argentine foreign minister, indicated clearly yesterday that his country would hold back from what he described as premature experiments with remedies for problems that may never arise and whose nature is unpredictable. However, a committee has been set up to draft a modus operandi, and Secretary of State Hull has been made chairman of it in the hope of being able to bring Argentina into line. However, Argentina is expected to stand firm and force the drafting of a resolution in such language as to avoid a hard and fast commitment to the collective trusteeship plan. To those observers who have followed Latin American affairs during recent years, Argentina's obstructionist attitude is due to the persistent refusal of the United States to permit the importation of this country of Argentine chilled beef and will continue to adopt such obstructionist tactics.
And with this summary and analysis by Linton Wells, we conclude this morning report of national and international developments, reported from London by Eric Severide, from Berlin by Edwin Hartridge. Barry Elliott speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.